Now, first of all, Hinduism. Hinduism, very obviously, is an ethnic religion. It's the sum total of the beliefs and practices of the people of India. It's confined to that country or to that subcontinent. It's found elsewhere, only where one has Indian colonists, where Indian culture has been transplanted. And Hinduism is very much identified with Indian culture. One can hardly say, in fact, where Indian culture ends and Hinduism begins. It's the religion of all the Indian people, with the exception, of course, of those who've been converted to one or another of the universal religions. And of course, it's collective, not individual. It has no single founder, even though a large number of great personalities are revered within Hinduism. Again, one has to be born a Hindu. You can't be converted to Hinduism. And in this connection, there's a very interesting story about the great Emperor Akbar. He was really of Muslim descent, a very mixed parentage, and he was a very broad-minded man, very liberal-minded man, and one day he thought, apparently, that he ought to become converted to Hinduism, as the majority of his subjects were Hindus, and he probably thought it would be a good thing to do politically. So what happened? He invited the pundits of Benares to meet him. The pundits of Benares are the most learned and most scholarly and most orthodox of all the Brahmins of India. So Akbar invited, according to the history books, the Brahmins of Benares, the pundits of Benares, to come and meet him. I think it was at Agra. And he discussed this question with them. He said, "I would like to become a Hindu. So please tell me how it is to be done." So we're told, the story relates, that the Brahmins, the pundits of Benares, went away. And they returned with a donkey. The Brahmins are very clever, they've got a sense of humour, you must admit. They returned with a donkey. And they said to Akbar, "Your Majesty, please make this donkey a horse." So Akbar said, but that's impossible, he's born a donkey, how can he possibly become a horse?" So they said, "Your Majesty, you have been born a non-Hindu. How can you possibly be made into a Hindu? There's no way of doing it." So this was the way, we are taught, in which Akbar did not become a Hindu. He remained a Muslim. And India continued to be ruled by this Muslim dynasty. So you can't be converted to Hinduism. This is still the case. Hinduism, of course, therefore affirms group values. It stresses very strongly caste solidarity and the performance of caste duties. In the eyes of Orthodox Hinduism, you are not an individual. You're the member of a caste. You can't get away from that caste. In India, it's practically impossible not to have a caste, even if you're not a Hindu. I remember when, in my own wandering days in South India, when I was going about from place to place on foot for about 2 years, the question I was asked everywhere I went in South India, in every village, by every person I met, "What is your caste?" And I'd say, "Well, one, I'm a Buddhist, and Buddhists don't believe in caste. Secondly, I'm English, we don't have any caste system back home in England, so I've no caste." And they'd always say, "But that's impossible, everybody must have a caste. You can't not have a caste." And they always used to think, "He must be very low caste and he's concealing it because he's ashamed of the fact." This is what they thought. You must have a caste. And they sometimes become very agitated over this and very upset and disturbed that you tried to escape from the net of the caste system and to be a free individual as a human being without a caste. To their way of thinking, you had to belong to the Brahmin caste or the Vaishya caste or the Shudra caste. Or to any other of the 2,000 castes and subcastes of India, of Hinduism. You had to have one. Even Christians, who don't belong to the caste system really, if they're not Hindus, they've been given a caste in India. The Anglo-Indians have been given a caste. And sort of, they've been embraced within this overall structure. The Jains have been given a caste. A subcaste of the Marwaris, the Vaishyas. So this is the tendency in India, in Hinduism. You cannot be an individual. You're a member of a group. You have your existence only through the group. And Hinduism affirms group values. Again, for Hinduism, it's a sin not to propagate the human species. Here again, group values are being affirmed, not to carry on the tribe, the family. And we're told in some of the Hindu religious books that if a Brahmin especially leaves his daughter unmarried, then, after puberty that is, he's guilty of as many murders as potential children she might have had. And they take this very seriously. This is one of the reasons, or was one of the reasons in India, for marrying girls off as soon as they reached the age of puberty. Otherwise, the father was guilty of the murder of their potential children. Hinduism, again, as an ethnic religion, lays very strong emphasis on worldly prosperity. In the Vedas, for instance, we find, which are the main scriptures of ancient Hinduism, there are scores of prayers for cows. The Brahmins were always after cows because they represented wealth. And there are very interesting episodes and anecdotes where certain Brahmins are represented as doing things for certain kings, and the kings would ask, "What now can I give you?" And the Brahmin would say, "A thousand cows, Your Majesty." In this way, they'd accumulate thousands of cows representing wealth. And there was this emphasis very strongly, was and still is this emphasis, in Hinduism. So this makes it very much, or goes to make it very much, an ethnic religion.